Vasudevaya. Griheshu Kuta Parameshu Uttaradhara Dhanarthati Naparam Vindhate Udhau Brahmyan Samsara Vartmasu Griheshu Kuta Griheshu Kuta Parameshu Uttaradhara Dharartati Naparam Vindate Mudho Brahmyan Samsara Vartmasu Griheshu Kuta Parameshu Uttaradhara Dharartati Naparam Vindate Mudho Brahmyam Samsara Vartmasu
only in a so-called beautiful life, namely remaining as a householder, entangled by sons and a wife, and searching after wealth, think that such things are life's ultimate goal. Such people simply wander in different types of bodies throughout this material existence without finding out the ultimate goal of life. Purport. Those who are too much attached to family life, which consists of entanglement with wife, children, wealth, and home, are engaged in kuta dharma, pseudo-duties. Palad Maharaj has likened these pseudo-occupational duties to a dark well, andakupam. Palad has purposely spoken of this dark well because if one falls into this well, he will die. He may cry for help, but no one will hear him or come to rescue him. The words brahmyan, samsara vartmasu, are significant. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.151, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly explains, Brahmanda Bhamite Kona Bhagyavanji. All living entities are wandering in different types of bodies throughout different planets. And if, in the course of their wanderings, they come in contact with a devotee by the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their lives become successful. Even though King Prachinabhartishat was engaged in fruitive activity, the great sage Narada appeared before him. The king was very fortunate to be able to associate with Narada, who enlightened him in spiritual knowledge. It is the duty of all saintly persons to follow in the footsteps of Narad Muni and travel all over the world to every country and village just to instruct illusioned people about the goal of life and to save them from the entanglement of karma bandha, fruit of activity. Now we have here a delicate point. Because we see that the devotees, they are engaged in family life. It's a natural position, right? Most people are in the family position. At the same time as it's speaking about a perspective, Narad Muni is not talking about grihastha life. He's talking the perspective that generally comes along with it. You know, just like if you get a dog, you get fleas along with it. Right? They just go together. Right? So, the problem in grihastha life is the illusion that the environment itself is the cause of the happiness. Right? The living entity is happy because of their contact with the Lord. Right? The living entity, being spiritual, cannot be happy contacting the external nature. It won't happen. You know, just say, just like if we take you and tie a rock around your leg and throw you into the water. You know, but it's a nice coral reef, let's say, you know, what is it, the Great Coral Reef? Great Barrier Reef, yes, you know. People go all over the world to go see it, right? Beautiful corals and tropical fish and this clear, you know, crystal water and all this nice thing. But you have a rock tied around your leg, right? And you're sinking down. Are you going to look at the ambience and go, wow, what a great place? No, there's nothing there for you. There's nothing there to sustain your life. Right? So the point is, the material energy has nothing to sustain the interest of the jiva. Because it's dead matter. The jiva is alive. Dead matter doesn't talk, it doesn't respond, it doesn't react. But because we are put here so that we don't bother those who are God conscious. Right? Therefore, Krishna makes it interesting by entering into everything. Right? Now we could, of course, point the finger and go, okay, now it's his fault. We're attracted to material nature, we like material nature, because Krishna's entered it. So it's his fault. But the point is if he's entered it, and that's what makes it interesting, why aren't we focusing on him? What is the actual interest? Right? That's the point. Krishna is what's of interest. There's nothing here that is of any interest. So it's illusion to think that what is here creates the interest. Does it make sense? Now, this works both ways. In that, therefore, it doesn't matter what the situation, one can see God in everything. Right? So that's why the point is not grihastha life, it's this what Narad Muni says in so-called beautiful life. Right? So it's the illusion that it's the situation of the grihastha ashram, it's the facilities, it's the interactions, it's the experiences that are gained from it, you know, meaning from the interacting with it, that we think this is the substance, this is the vastu, when actually it's not the substance. It's only a medium, right? If I take the potatoes, put them in a iron pot and boil them, they'll get boiled, right? I put them in a stainless steel pot, they'll get boiled, right? I put them in Teflon pot, or I put them in a porcelain pot. I even take an old tin can and put them in there, they'll get boiled. So the point is the pot is only a medium. So Grihastha is just a medium for a variety of experiences. Right? It means you have to have a medium for it. You want to experience heat, you go outside. Right? That's the medium for it. You want to experience more cool, you come inside. Right? You want to experience wetness, you go into water. Dryness, you don't go into the water. Does this make sense? So, in other words, the Grihastha Ashram affords all kinds of facilities for varieties of experiences, and you can claim it's yours. Everybody else is getting the same experiences, but you can't say it's yours. Right? The cute kid is there, they're walking around doing funny things. The whole crowd can enjoy that. The whole crowd can appreciate it. But only the parents can claim, this is mine. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. You can sit under a tree and be sheltered, but it's not your tree. But if it's a house, then you can say, it's my house. So this sense of ownership then makes it appear that it is something so much more. It's mine. Therefore, because I have it, it lasts eternally. Problem is, good chance your facilities are going to last longer than you are. You know? But, so Narad Muni is pointing this out, is that too much attached. Right? It may be a comfortable situation in which you have worked out all the different things connected to Krishna. It creates a structure for your engagement in devotional service. So then that's fine. One is comfortable in that. So that kind of attachment's not really a problem, because the attachment is because it's connected to Krishna. And therefore it creates a regularity and know what's going to happen. Right? You know, your place is regular, your things, you know, you always have your stuff, you know it's there for your service, right? The brahmacharya, you put it down, you turn around, you turn back, it's not there. Right? Because some other brahmacharya, I thought, wow, cool, look at this, I found it. You know, it's like, yeah, like that, you know. Like that. I remember once we had, doing some work, I forget what it was on. Something to do with deity worship, I think. Maybe some Hari Bhakti Vilas stuff like this. All these things, handwritten papers, all sitting on the table. And I went to the bathroom, right? And came right back. They were all gone. So Brahmacharya said, wow, look at this, check this, and took it. Like that, you know. Took another 20 years to get that together again, or whatever it is. So, it just... But we can say it's mine, I can lock the door, it's safe, I know that my facilities will be there. But the point is, if we're too much attached to that, that it's mine, what I get from it, that's where the problem starts. It's all about balance. One will say, no, but it's my right. But how much is your right? Right? There's a bucket of hull over there. How much can you eat? You try to eat the whole bucket, will anybody say, wow? Cool. Right? Brahmacharya's might, but I don't think the Grihasthas will. Right? There's balance. Right? There's attachment. If it's too much, it's out of balance. If there's anger, it's too much, it's out of balance. There's affection, it's too much, it's out of balance. Right? One sleeps too much, not enough. Eats too much, not enough. Recreation is too much. It's out of balance. So too much means the balance is wrong. So here Prachina Bahishat thinks, by engaging in this activities, I will be happy. And this is the ultimate goal. That's too much. Right? The point is that the Grihastha Ashram is a facility to deal with a wide range of endeavors and experiences that other ashrams don't afford. That's the difference. Right? In all ashrams, one is engaging the senses. Right? That's all we do, is engage the senses. But the point is that engagement of the senses is within three ashrams is narrow. Right? Facilities are narrow. The ownership, sense of ownership is narrow. Right? So, but the Grihastha creates it basically as broad as it can get, that follows religious principles. Right? It's never allowed that it's outside of religious principles. So that's why we're choosing in this story Prachina Bahishat. Right? We want outside religious principles. Then we have Magrari the hunter and, you know, Dasaratnakar. We have all these kind of persons. But here we have someone who's perfectly following all the rules. There's nothing that he's doing that's not according to Shastra. It's not dharmic. It's not pious. But the point is it's overbalanced. It's just material piety. There is no spiritual understanding. He doesn't understand that I'm performing this activity, but it's only a medium for the Lord and His potencies. Therefore, the ultimate goal is the Lord, not the experience of the mundane. Does that make sense? So, this is the point. It's just like, let's say, we're cooking for Krishna. We like to cook for Krishna. Right? It's a big feast day. It's a good season, so everyone can eat. Right? The appetite is good. Various ingredients are available. Everything's happening. So one enjoys the cooking. But now if one is just focused on the enjoyment of the cooking, even though the results are for Krishna, is that actually what the cooking for Krishna is for? We understand? It means we're cooking for Krishna, so we're happy doing that. We enjoy it, but the focus is on Krishna's pleasure. And we'll be happy along with that. They go together. The problem is we want to isolate that and claim that, possess that, try to expand it. That the aspect of my happiness in doing the service to Krishna, that's mine, that's the real thing. No, it's Krishna's happiness because he's happy. That's why you're happy. But if you focus just on that happiness, not on Krishna's, it becomes out of balance. Then the next time you want to cook is just because you'll get more out of it. So therefore, if all those ingredients and everything's not there, you're not going to get the same experience. You won't be as happy. Therefore, you're not inclined to cook. Right? So therefore, what's the next step? Why is that a problem? Because you're not in control of it. Right? It's the temple kitchen. Right? There's a kitchen in charge. And he just orders anything that's in the book. He has no idea about menus. So then, what's the natural next step? You have to take control of it. You have to be in charge of it. Then you can arrange it so it has the facilities so that I can be happy doing this service. You understand how it works? So this is the Grihastha mentality. That sense of ownership. Because then the control is there, then I can set up the house how I want. Because if you go into every house that's here, everyone arranges their house differently, depending upon what the value is. You know, what's in what place, what is in the prominence, what's not. It's because the sense of ownership is there because I can control the environment so that that part of the service that I enjoy, I can be in control of. Because the point is, cooking for Krishna, it doesn't matter if you have nice facilities or not. You're doing it to please Him with sincerity. Krishna's happy. Right? Now, if you have some facility to improve the quality, then He appreciates your endeavor to improve the quality. Not that the improved quality is what impresses Him. Does that make sense? Like that. Like Srila Prabhupada, they pick Him up in a Rolls Royce. It's not the Rolls Royce that impresses Prabhupada or makes Him happy. It's that the devotees made the endeavor to get it, rather than picking Him up in some old jalopy. Right? That just happened to be there because it was easy. And they thought there was petrol in it. But everybody in the rush forgot, you know, didn't check. No, but it's because you made the endeavor. That's what's special. So for Krishna, it's your endeavor, your desire to please Him that's important. So if that's the prominence, it does not matter what the varna, what the ashram is. It's not a matter of social prestige. Social prestige is for those who are interested only in a so-called beautiful life. That's their problem. It's not a devotional problem. Right? If one checks the 64 items of sadhana bhakti, right? Sixth chapter of Nectar Devotion, worrying about your social prestige is not one of them. Right? It doesn't even come in rag bhakti. Right? It's just not there. So what is it? It's an overbalance of using the medium, that one is attached to the medium to the point where one wants to own and control it. And so the license is given in Grihastha life. But as long as one keeps that balance within that you have that control, therefore now use all that, whatever you like, in Krishna's service. You like nice things? Great. Get nice things. Use them for Krishna. You like nice arrangements? Great. Use those arrangements for Krishna. So it's a matter of being convinced that if we do something to please Krishna, we'll actually be happy. The problem comes when we think, if I don't do it myself, I don't experience it myself, and I don't focus on myself, I won't be happy. This is the problem, right? Because we're thinking, if I don't look out for myself, no one else will. But the point is that's not the reality. When one says that, what's looking out for you is the modes of nature. That's who's looking out after you. And that's according to your previous endeavor anyway. So you'll only be looked after according to what you deserve. You won't get anything more. So it's not that it's mine, therefore I get more. No, it's yours, therefore you have anxiety about it. That's all. You get the facility of having the anxiety that it's yours. Right? That's the benediction. Okay, so now this aspect being understood, right, by Narad Muni, then it's not, the problem is not that Maharaj Prachina Barhishad is, you know, a nasty rascal demon. The problem is he's making endeavor. He's pious. He's following Shastra. He has respect to the Brahmins. Right? He's making endeavor with focus. He's getting results. But none of that's connected to the Lord. That's sad. Right? So therefore, Narad Muni comes to bless the Father by telling him what's the reality, what's real, what's actual, what's actually going on in this world. Right? That's the point. So then Srila Prabhupada's pointing out is, therefore, the devotees, because they're studying this, right, and practicing this, Therefore, how much one understands, that much you give to others. And that's preaching. What you have, you share. Right? So preaching is sharing. Right? So that's the point. It's not a matter of ownership. It's a matter of sharing the understanding, realization one has. So Narad Muni is doing that in this case. Okay, we'll try again. If anyone has any questions. Yes. Here, like you said.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the beautiful explanation. In this point, Narada Muni is giving Maharaj some knowledge, right? So what he needs is an adjustment in his Sambandha Gyan about what he's doing and what goal he should be getting, right? So is the point, our point is increasing or, let's say, deepening our Sambandha Gyan according to Shastra? That's what we should be doing.
Means for ourselves?
Yes.
Or for preaching? Yes. Means you can give what you have. You know, it's like, let's say, if you have water, you can give water. You don't have water, or if you have shelter, you can give shelter. But if you don't have, you can't give. So we try to understand ourselves. That's why Prabhupada instituted this class, right? Is that we're regularly hearing Bhagavatam, regularly, so that we can increase our understanding, right? Naturally, when we increase the understanding, then we improve the quality of our practice. And improving the quality of practice, then the quality of the result, right, is naturally improved. So, and if that's done, then that you can give to others, right? But it's all done together. It's not that only when I come to the platform of self-realization then I'll preach. No, it's whatever you know, it's a value, right? And whatever it is, the simplest thing, it's a value. So it can work. It has power. It has potency. Because preaching also is we're dealing with the Lord. In the same way we make the mistake that this is mine, right? This facility is mine, this position is mine, this all these different things are mine, we think the preaching is mine. And because of my ability, that's why it's worked out so good. No, it's that we're the same as the pot. The pot's only the medium for the potatoes to boil. We're not boiling potatoes. No pot on the planet has ever boiled potatoes. Right? No, the pot is the medium. So we're not actually ourselves directly doing the preaching. We're assisting the previous acharyas representing Krishna in the preaching. So it's Krishna. He's the Adi Guru. He's the one who's actually, because he's in the heart. And then he comes externally as the devotee to give that instruction. Otherwise, he's giving from within, but who's listening? Right? So if someone comes outside and tells you, you know, just like in your head, you go, I shouldn't do that, you know, but you might do that. But if someone outside says, no, don't do that, then you kind of, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? So that's the idea, is that we increase our understanding, and therefore our practices are increased, therefore we have more to give. But whatever we have, it's something. If anybody is a devotee or identifies himself as a devotee, no matter how new or neophyte, still that means they have more than anybody else. Because they have God, they have substance. Well, no materialist, no matter how good a facility or how wonderful qualities he's manifesting, he doesn't have any of that. Because it's not the nature of the soul he's manifesting. He has pious position, he does pious activities, he has all nice qualities, he's intelligent, and all we could go on and on and on. But those are only there due to the modes of nature, because of his attachment to controlling and enjoying. So it's not his. So we say, no, but the karmis, they have good qualities. There's not one karmi who has any good quality. It's just the mode of nature is manifesting through him. So you can say, yes, there's a good quality, but that's Krishna's quality manifesting through them. They don't have one good quality. Nothing belongs to them. But the devotee, because they are doing because of their service to Krishna, when you see good quality, that is their quality. That's not the modes of nature. So that's why we say only the devotees have good qualities. There's not one living entity who's not a devotee that has any good quality. Therefore, even the most newest person who has that faith in Krishna, they have unlimited wealth to give the non-devotee. Because the drop of Krishna consciousness is unlimited compared to, you know, one quarter of the cosmic creation, a shadow. You know, it just has no meaning. Right? So all these things of social prestige, oh, he's senior, oh, he's this, he's that, all these different things, they don't have any meaning from the mundane platform. It means on the mundane platform we'll say they have meaning, but they're just mundane. The point is one's connection to Krishna, that's what's of value. It's nothing to do with prestige, position, you know, facility, these things. Those are simply medium to use. And if we are attached to that because we think that there's some aspect of this so-called beautiful life that is important, if someone else has it, then what's the first thing that happens? We get jealous. If we're jealous of God, why we won't be jealous of everyone else? Right? God has everything, so someone else who has just something, it's more than us, will still be jealous. Therefore, we focus on these elements of material life as more important, as the proper prominent things, as the social things, the needs, the endeavors. But they're not. They're simply all mediums for remembering Krishna. We see them in connection with remembering Krishna. It doesn't matter. Narad Muni doesn't have a problem that he's a king and that he's a Karmakandi. The problem is he's utilizing all these nice Shastric things not for the right purpose. Right? He's making the endeavor but only getting a temporary result when you could get a permanent result. Right? You could make the same endeavor in your family life, get liberated from material existence and develop love for God. Plus, you would taste the family life. But there's a balance. Right? Devotion is the prominent. Being liberated from material existence is then the next. And then having proper facilities is the next. Now the enjoyment of that, that's then what comes along on the side. It's natural. You eat food, you're hungry, and you eat food. The main point is you're nourishing the body, but it will taste nice. But if all you're into is the taste, so you eat and then you vomit and then eat more and all these kind of things like that, then it's out of balance. So we have this idea is that if it's not for me, I won't enjoy. And if it's for me, then I'll be happy. This is karma and jnana. If it's for me, I'll be happy is karma. If it's not for me, I won't be happy. That's young. I'm thinking that, but no, the point is it's for Krishna, and Krishna being everything, we're part and parcel of Krishna, why we won't be happy also. Right? If you eat lunch, you know, your foot is also happy. It also gets nourished. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the ideas. We increase the knowledge, so Narad Muni is giving this knowledge. But it's practical knowledge. It's not just theoretical. It has to be practical. That's why we have to contemplate. Because if you contemplate, you can apply it yourself, and through that contemplation, you can give it to others. If you don't contemplate, hard to use or hard to give to others. Because what you can give to others is what you can use. Right? You can't give to somebody something. If it's theoretical that you can't use it, what you're giving others will be theoretical. They can't use it either. Does that make sense? Something else? Yes.
Haribo. Thank you so much. Thank you for the class. Just wondering about the point about the living entity can't interact with matter, like getting thrown in the ocean, don't have gills. So how is it that we interact or we enjoy in the world with others? Is it through our false ego, through their false ego like that? Or is it that manifests the Lord's qualities? Or how does that actually work?
It works that Krishna's entered it. The only means the living entities means the liberated soul understands that their happiness is coming from another source. It's not from themselves. There's a minute happiness, that Atmarama aspect, but the dynamic is coming from another source. So therefore the liberated souls then look at it, it's coming from another source, and I'm coming from this source. So that means that the my source is the source of happiness. Therefore they surrender to the Lord. Right? It means that's all living entities in the spiritual world. They understand this. So we're making the mistake that it's the dead matter that makes me happy. But it's Krishna's potency as Brahman. How he pervades, that means all this is manifested by Brahman. Right? And this, so if this, we think this is pretty good, imagine what the source of Brahman is like. Right? So Brahman is simply the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. So just the effulgence of those qualities manifests this. Right? And this is the middle sphere. Higher sphere is even more amazing. You know? So, but we think that it's the thing itself. You know, it's just like, let us say your blender is working. If we think it's just the blender itself, it does everything, and don't understand the electricity, there'll be a problem. Right? But if we understand, no, it's actually, it's working because of the electricity. Therefore, the electricity is the actual thing that's doing the work. Then we have proper understanding. Right? Because then you'll see that it's plugged in. So, everything that you see, everything you interact with, the only attractive aspect of it is Krishna. There is nothing that's not Krishna. So the superior quality of something, that's what you're attracted to. Right? That's the aspect. Everyone's attracted to the superior quality. But we may, by the modes of nature, then the particular manifestation of that superior quality may or may not be very superior. Right? So the Vedic system gives the superior manifestation of the superior quality. And non-Vedic tends to, you know, go down from there. Right? You know, just like, let's say somebody is trying to look attractive, right? And we're through their clothes, right? So then, you know, wearing these very nice, as we see here, these very nice, you know, fine silks and embroideries and, you know, high class ornaments and gold and all these different things. That's the high class manifestation of the superior quality of looking nice. Right? But then there's the guy in the street, his pants are falling off, he's got this big chain, it's not made of gold. Like that, his underwear stick out, and they don't say Calvin Klein. You know? And so, you know, all these different things like that. And so then, that's a inferior manifestation of looking nice. Does that make sense? You know, you want to see wild stuff. Get down and look at, you know, one of these bugs, you know? All bright colors and different things like that. I mean, there's no one that's got a tattoo like that. I mean, that doesn't, you know, it's happening. You know? Shiny, right? It means, I mean, our skin's dull, you know, and then if it's a little bright and all that, we'll say, wow, that's cool. You know, it's good. You know, what cosmetic you're using and stuff like that. These guys are shiny naturally. Right? You know, they don't have dry skin and all that. They have nice, you know, waxy, you know, it's good. But it's a bug. But it's still the manifestation of the superior quality of attractiveness. Does that make sense? So, everything has that. The quality one's looking for. Right? The house, it gives shelter. Right? It gives prestige. It gives facility. These are all superior qualities. That's why we're attracted to it. That's Krishna. It's not the house. Right? If it was the thing, why is it that this week it's the rage, but after 6 months no one cares? Because the modes of nature have changed, so you don't appreciate the manifestation of the Lord in that thing. But it's still there. Otherwise, if it's not still there, then why 20 years later it comes back? You just change the color of it, and then, you know what I'm saying? That's all. It just changes. Pleats are out now. You have to have that flat front. But, you know, 15 years ago, pleats were in. And then before that, they were out. In the 50s, they were out. But before that, in the 43rd, they were in. You know, so they just go in, out, like that. So what's that? The modes of nature. So it's not the thing itself. We think it's the thing itself. That's the illusion. It's the Lord's entering into it. That is the attractiveness. So the Lord's entered into everything. He's in every atom, between every atom. So therefore, definitely, He's in your house and in your family and in your money and in... Right? In fact, He's probably a lot in it, right? You know, figure out how many atoms are there, and He's in all of those atoms and in between all those atoms. Right? So that's the attractiveness. It's Krishna's Brahman feature. But we think it's the dead matter. That's the illusion. So the problem's not dealing with the dead matter. The problem is thinking the dead matter is the source of happiness. When we understand Krishna is the source of happiness, dead matter is only the medium, then we can be the medium for service. But if we think dead matter is the source of happiness, we will think I'm therefore the doer, the controller, and enjoyer. They go together. You know, like we said before, dogs and fleas, they go together. So it's like, is that okay?
I just recently had an experience with somebody and they said, I didn't really appreciate how you sort of told this other person something that I sort of asked you not to tell them and stuff like that. And their response was, well, I didn't think it was right anyway. And that was it. So
I didn't think?
He didn't agree with, like...
Okay, yeah.
So I left it at that. But
he's looking
the thing
at
was,
truth.
Something
looking,
like that.
You know, or looking at, or sharing gossip, right? Because what's a relationship if you don't have something new gossip, right?
But in terms of relationship, like that's what I was trying to understand from a class, like... Is that mean he's having a relationship with his intelligence rather than with the person? And
it depends on what you're looking at. You know what I'm saying? Because there's unlimited aspects of everything. So what is, by the modes of nature, you take something as valuable. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, since everything's a quality, that means everything's going to be, everything that you see is a medium for these qualities. So depending upon the quality, that's how you're going to look at the medium. Right? So, for some people are, you know, that you can sit there and, you know, have social interaction. Others, it's that you can get them to do things that you want, to get things done that you want to get done. You know what I'm saying? And some people, it's like, for some, people aren't what's interesting at all, right? You sit in a shack somewhere in Colorado, you know, with your trees, you know, and they're more interesting. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of your values. So that's why then the Shastra gives what's human values. Right? Because otherwise, the interpretation of any one object has 8,400,000 interpretations. Right? It means I put something in the middle of the floor, all the species of life will have an interpretation of what it is. So, but God performs his past tense as a human. So therefore, human values are what's important. And if we want to be God-conscious and please God, then that means we'll be God-conscious and please him through human values. And so, since in the material world, we're used to going through 8,400,000 species of life, how will we, and it's constantly changing, how will we know what is human? Unless we're told. You understand? And then, of that, then the acharyas tell us, of the human, what's important to Krishna. So that's why the culture is there, that's why the rules are there. One can do whatever one likes. You can say, well, I'm from, you know, we're from this part of the world, you know, we're, you know, how you say, so we do it like that here, and so that's important. You can do that, but what has it got to do with God? You know, if you do it like that, why? What's the important thing? Right? We're practical. Okay, great. But practicality is Krishna. So, Shastra describes what's practical according to human nature. Because you can practically get something done and get your money. That's economics. But if you want to share that money with people, then you have to do it in such a way that those people aren't upset in getting your money. Right? The guy spends 16 hours a day at work. Right? He's got two jobs, right? He's a good German. Right? So, but his family doesn't appreciate him. Right? So, he got the money, and they leave him. So, it was efficient, but it didn't actually deal with the problem that the family is there to be interacted with. Money only creates a facility to interact, but money is not interaction. You know what I'm saying? You can talk all day to Benjamin and he doesn't say anything back. Other people like him, so you know, then your relationship with the other people is through Benjamin, right? You know. But the point is how to have direct relationships with people, you know?
That's really the essence of the question, like to be conscious that we're having a relationship with a person and not just our own mind or some other thing.
But who defines that? That's what's important. Because remember, we can think of 8,400,000 different ways of what is that interaction, what's the relation, what's important, what's the prominence. But Krishna defines what's prominent. Because otherwise, like you said, everybody in the room will come up with a different idea of what's important. But the living entity has to feel that how they think is important. But therefore, one should think in a way that is important. If you want every thought that you have to be of value, then therefore think of things that are of value. You know what I'm saying? So if you think about Krishna, what you think about is of value. If you act according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then what you're thinking and doing and that is of value. But if you're not, one can't claim just by false ego that's important. Just because you thought it up. That means the element of mind is one of the, you know, 24 elements of the material world. So it's not even ours. We've been given a portion of it and a particular quality of it by our karma. So therefore, the mind, it just thinks it up. Just like if I give you a machine that makes toast, it's just going to make toast. You can't say, well, I'm making toast. No, the toaster's making toast. But the other guys think, he's got a waffle iron. It doesn't make toast, it makes waffles. Like that. That's because of the nature. So the mind is an element, it's a dead element. So it's a medium for the use to think. Just like the musical instrument just sits there. It never plays music. Not here. Spiritual world it does, but here it doesn't. So, but it's a medium through which you can express music. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is the mind is not doing the thinking. It is a medium that can express thought, just like the musical instrument can express musical sound. So it's not, so when we identify, I am this, you know, guitar. It's like, okay. So then we can stick you in the box and close it then? And we don't have to listen to you yakking away and all that and stuff? You know? And then we'd much rather put you in the box, put you in the corner than have you sleep on the couch. Right? Right? Musicians always end up on the couch, right? So does that make sense? So the point is, we have all these illusions of what we think is us, but none of it is us. What we are, we're the soul. But it's not that these things don't exist. Because of the Mayavad concept, we think, oh, if it's not real, it doesn't exist. No, it's real. It has substance, but its substance is in connection with Krishna. Therefore, yes, family life is there, but its substance is its connection to Krishna. We don't connect to Krishna, it does not have any substance. Right? That's the whole point. Okay. Time's up. Okay, so end here. Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Janyatai Gaura Premodi.